No, man, he can't. Amen? Well, good. Turn your Bibles tonight, if you would, to Luke chapter 22. Looking forward to being prayed for Brother Zellner. I think about Brother Zellner. I think about the Heritage Baptist Bible Institute. Begin, resume here in just a few weeks on Thursday nights. So remember him in prayer. Also, Master Clubs will be starting up here soon on Wednesday nights again. Here we go. Back to school. Everything back to its normal position. So, here we go. Luke chapter 22. Look at verse 31. So we talk about heroes of the faith. We have touched on Peter already. Tonight I want to just touch on Peter. And this goes along with the theme of the youth rally that was just here last Saturday. And this has to do with Peter's failing. Peter's failing, all right? Look with me again, Luke chapter 22, verse 31. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee, I love this, both to prison and to death. And he said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. And he said unto them, and he goes on to say, I knew I'd turned it on. And then it went, boop, went back off. All right. Technology is wonderful. Let's pray. Maybe that'll help. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you today again for just your love for us and what a blessing it is to be in the house of God tonight with friends and family. Just we praise you and thank you for the wonderful blessing of your Son as an example to us. We also thank you for the many other examples in the Bible who we can glean from, and many of them people of faith who did great things for you, and some like Peter who were up and down a lot, who exercised their faith in great strides and sometimes failed. Tonight, as we point out some of the failures of Peter, I pray, God, that you would help us, that we would not repeat Peter's failures. In Jesus' name, amen. As we look at Luke chapter 22, the disciples are in the upper room. They have just, he had taught them. They have taken of the Lord's Supper. He had broke the bread, given them the cup. They had talked about who was the first and who was going to be first. And Jesus gave many teachings and told them many things about the first shall be last. And there's a lot of great things that happened in that upper room just before Jesus was to go to his death, as he was to walk there to the Garden of Gethsemane. And in this upper room, the Lord tells Peter that Satan has a desire to sift Peter, and that the Lord was praying for Peter's faith, that it wouldn't fail. And we know that after this occasion that Peter did deny the Lord Jesus Christ, denied him three times. We do know that at times Peter's faith failed. But I thank the Lord that we can look on further to Acts chapter 2 and see Peter stand up and preach to that great crowd, and 3,000 people get saved. So God, the Lord called Peter to follow him, and Peter, again, ups and downs, as we think about Peter, walking on the Sea of Galilee. I mean, came out of that boat, and what great faith that took, and he got his eyes off Jesus and began to sink, and he cried out to the Lord, save him, and the Lord saved him, of course. We think about the times that Peter, they were asked the question, whom do men say that I am? And Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. But just the next few words, the Lord had to tell Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. I just think about all the things that Peter had done. And we covered some of those here a couple of months ago when we talked about the life of Peter. But tonight I especially want to just cover this area here when Peter, from this point in the upper room until the time that they meet Jesus again after his resurrection there on the Sea of Galilee, and point out a couple of things in Peter's life. As you understand, and many of you know, But here in this upper room, Judas has already agreed to betray Jesus. In fact, the dip of the sop in the bread and the cup, and Judas is about the business of betraying the Lord Jesus Christ. And when Jesus told Peter that Satan had a desire to sift him, Peter said what? He said he was ready to go to prison and to death, that he would not leave, that he would be loyal to the Lord Jesus Christ. Can I tell you, in this upper room, Peter was a lot of talk. Have you ever had somebody say to you, "I'll follow you, but you go first"? I don't know how many times as a kid and also as a grown-up I've said to somebody, or someone has said to me, "Man, I'm right behind you, brother. I'm right behind you." And we think about all those times. Sorry, I'll get back over here. Think about all those times that the big brother, you know, pushed me out front, or my brother said, you know, "I'll go first," and then I didn't follow. I'm doing that. And Peter was generally always out front. And most of the time, Peter followed through. He was a man of conviction and a man of action. But we do see Peter here in light of his failings. In light of his failings. And we can learn a lot from the failings of Peter. We can also learn a lot from his triumphs, from the great things that Peter did. But see, here we see, number one, we see that Peter failed in his loyalty to Jesus Christ. Turn to Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26. So we're back again to Peter, his vow of loyalty. Chapter 26, verse 31, he vows his loyalty to the Lord Jesus Christ. They travel there on the Gethsemane, Jesus' trial before the Sanhedrin, before Caiaphas, and so forth. And then we see in verse 69, Matthew chapter 26, verse 69. Now Peter sat without in the palace, and a damsel came unto him, saying, "Thou also wast with Jesus of Galilee." But he denied before them all, saying, "I know not what thou sayest." And when he was gone out into the porch, another maid saw him, and he said unto them that were there, "This fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth." And again he denied with an oath, "I do not know the man." And after a while came unto him they that stood by and said to Peter, "Surely thou also art one of them, for thy speech betrayeth thee." Then began he to curse and to swear, saying, "I know not the man." And immediately the cock crew. Peter remembered the word of Jesus, which said unto him, "Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice." And he went out and wept bitterly. We see here in this passage, this account's found in the other Gospels, but we see in this passage that it gives us a detailed account of Peter's failing in his loyalty. He failed in his following of the Lord Jesus Christ, that when he was asked, he denied the Lord. But I want you to point out something else that you may have seen before. But notice in verse 69 it says, "And Peter sat without in the palace." That as Jesus was being tried there, that Peter wasn't standing beside him. Peter wasn't even arm lengths away or, you know, a couple of feet away. But Peter was without the palace. He was outside. He was watching from afar off. In fact, Luke chapter 22, verse 54 says that Peter followed afar off. It uses that exact phrase. Peter followed afar off. Here is Peter who said, "Lord, I'll go with you to prison and to death." And yet he's outside the palace. He's following afar off. He's scared. He's afraid. He's fearful. He denies the Lord three times. Three times he denies him. Think about that. After Peter boasted that he would go to prison and death for the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm reminded of the verse that says, "Take up thy cross and follow me." Follow me. Follow me. I hope there's no one here who would be put in a position to deny the Lord. Amen? I hope that when push comes to shove, that you would not deny Him. We've talked about this from the pulpit. I believe we are in that day and age where there may come a time in my lifetime, especially maybe in my kid's lifetime, where you may be severely punished, as once the martyrs were, for following the Lord Jesus Christ. But in our day and age, the application is fairly easy. You know, whether it's at school, we got a lot of our kids in here tonight, denying the Lord Jesus Christ at school or denying Him at work. We need to be Christians, amen? We need to be followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we certainly don't want to be put in the position of denying Him. Number two, not only did he fail in this following the Lord Jesus Christ, and we could spend a lot more time there, but I want to spend a little time here that he failed in his language. I just think this is amazing. It says there in verse 73, it says, "And after a while came unto him they that stood by and said to Peter, Surely also art one. Surely thou also art one of them." And notice this, you ought to underline this. "For thy speech betrayeth thee." It wasn't just that Peter had been walking and following the Lord and many of them had seen him follow the Lord, but that his own speech betrayed him. When he said, "No, I'm not one of the followers of Christ," they said, "Well, then why do you act the way you're acting? Why is your speech, why is your talk the way that he talks?" Isn't that a good testimony? That's a wonderful testimony. He talked different. And they, because he talked different, they identified him as a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. Man, there's a lot we can do here, can't we? Take a little time. As Christians, we ought to talk different. I'm amazed. I'm amazed at how many, even on my Facebook page, and as I follow my, I know some of you don't want to hear about this. That's fine. It's a good example, though. And as I follow some of my Facebook, whatever you call it, and I'm reading some of their things going on, and they'll say the D word in Facebook. I knew they attended church Sunday because they said so. But they used the D word and H word. And it confounds me. That's not the talk of Jesus Christ. That's not displaying good Christian character and following the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't get it personally. I think your vocabulary could certainly be better than that. You could use other words pretty easy. And so his speech betrayed him. I find so many that call themselves Christians who could care less about what their speech is and how they betray themselves before people in their speech. And we're not talking about just about cuss words, but the way we carry ourselves and the way we talk. Man, it's been a long time here. Proverbs has a lot to say about the tongue. Man, that tongue could sure get out of control quick, can't it? The Bible refers to it as a flame, as a fire that can just burn away. But we need to be careful about our tongues. As parents, be careful how we talk to our children and our anger and so forth. We need to be careful about how we talk to others around us. People are watching us. Here they were watching Peter. His speech betrayed him. You're a follower of Jesus because your talk is different. Now notice how he went about proving that he wasn't a follower of Jesus. He began to what? He began to curse. In order to identify himself and prove that he was not a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, he began to curse. He began to swear. That's in the book, isn't it? To me, it's very readily biblical that if you are cursing, that you are identifying yourself as a non-follower of Jesus Christ. Right? Help me out. I was taught early on not to cuss, and I'm glad I've told you this before. Man, I hate to bring up my dad. I'll do it once. Never heard my dad cuss once. Never. Not one time in my life have I heard my dad cuss. He's a follower of Jesus. You say you've never even heard him use the H word? No. Never heard him, any of them. It's amazing. We our speech ought to identify us as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. We talk a lot about our actions, and yes, our actions ought to follow that as well, but our speech ought to identify us. our speech ought to be that of grace, speckled with grace, the Bible says, as we're kind and gracious to others around us. He talked different to prove he wasn't a follower of Jesus Christ. I just want to encourage you tonight as you think about that and your testimony before others around you. Can they identify you as a follower of Jesus just by your speech? Ephesians 4:29 says, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers." As we speak to others, the communication that comes out of our mouth ought to be that of edifying, building up someone, encouraging someone. Our speech ought to minister grace to them. 1 Timothy 4:12 says, "Lo, no man despise, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believer in word, in conversation, in charity, in the spirit, in faith, and in purity." That we ought to, as young people, and there are some young people in here, listen, that we ought to be an example of the believer in word, in our words, is what it says. In our words. We ought to be, others ought to be able to identify that we are followers of Jesus simply by the way we speak. Is that real to you tonight? I mean, is it really real to you? And I've had some come to me and said, "You know, preacher, you know, I have a hard time with that." I had someone recently come to me and said, "Preacher, I hadn't cussed in 2 years, and I lost my temper and I said a word." And he said, "I apologized for it to the guy that I cussed in front of." I said, "Well, I'm not your priest. You don't have to confess to me." But it bothered him. Had gone 2 years without saying a cuss word. Does it bother you when you say it? You know? Guess I'm preaching to angels in here, right? Peter's speech identified him as a follower of Jesus Christ. I just think that's so evident in the Scripture. So evident. Number two, not only did he fail in his loyalty to the Lord, denying the Lord Jesus Christ, not only in his lack of following Him, he followed afar off, and also in his speech, he failed him, his language, but he also failed him in his labor. Look at John chapter 21. Turn back over to John chapter 21. Remember, Jesus had told the disciples, "Follow me and I'll make you fishers of men." Peter had been a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. He had been serving the Lord, had faithfully serving Him. And here we see in John chapter 21 and verse 3, "And Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a-fishing. And they say unto him, We also go with thee. And they went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing." So here's Peter. Jesus had already come to the disciples twice. It's not like Peter hadn't seen Jesus Christ after His resurrection, because he had. He'd seen Him twice, and yet we see here him leaving his loyalty to the Lord, but also leaving his following and going back to what he used to do. He went back fishing. He went back to his old job. As I think about that, I think about the old nature and the new nature. And if the Lord's going to allow me, not this Sunday, but next Sunday, I'm going to preach on the old nature and the new nature. I'm glad when I got saved, I received a new nature. But that old man inside, that old nature inside, according to Romans chapter 7, that Paul still warred within his members. Man, it's a tough battle, isn't it? We war against, our members war against each other, that old man, that nature we were born with, that sinful nature we were born with, that selfish nature that we were born with, that nature that wants to only live for me, that only wants to live for self. Jesus said to Nicodemus, "You must be born again." And when I accepted Christ as my Savior, I was born again. And when I was born again, I was born with a new nature. I became a partaker of the divine nature of the Lord Jesus Christ of God. And now, as a saved, born-again believer, as a new creature, there's a different want-to. There's a want-to do right. There's a want-to live right. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. if you're saved tonight, there ought to be a different want to inside. The things I used to do, I don't do them anymore. The things I used to do, I don't do them anymore. The things I used to do, I don't do them anymore. There's been a great change since I've been born again. There's been a... Some of y'all been in junior church, yeah? There's been a great change since I've been born. It's been a great change. Jesus said, by their fruits you shall know them. And Peter went back to his old life, went back to that old way, that old job of fishing, something he knew how to do and how to do well. But not only that, he went back to his old way, but he also influenced others to turn back. Think about this again. And I pointed this out last time when we taught on Peter, but it says there that the other disciples said, we also go with thee. The Bible says in Romans, no man lives to himself, no man dies to himself. To remind you that you influence someone. In fact, most of us influence many. And when you fail, by the way, we all fail from time to time. But when you fail, you influence those around you. Be careful. Somebody's watching you. And usually it's several watching you. They're waiting for you to stub your toe and see what you say. You know, they're ready. They're waiting for you to, you know, hit your finger with the hammer and see what you say. Right? They're waiting. They're watching you. There's a neighbor or someone watching you to see if you're up and at them on Sunday morning. There's somebody watching you. There's an uncle. There's an aunt. There's a brother. There's a son. There's a daughter watching you to see if mom and daddy stays consistent. There's watching you, young people. There's people watching you. There's kids watching you. There's young people watching you to see if you truly are a follower of Jesus by way of your speech, by way of your loyalty to Him at school, at work. They're watching you. You influence those around you. Peter went back to his old way, went back to that old life. By the way, he didn't just do it halfway. Peter never did anything halfway. Do y'all notice that? Let's look down here a little bit. It says there, verse 3, that he said, I go a-fishing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore. But the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Verse 5 of John chapter 21. Then Jesus saith unto them, children, have ye any meat? And they answered him, no. And he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. And they cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. I think I've said this before. It's been a couple of years ago. I was out, by the way, on the Sea of Galilee. I always like to point this out because for some reason I never really got this when I was a kid or and early on, that the Sea of Galilee is a lake, not a sea. It's not a saltwater body of water. It is a lake. It's about 60,000 acres. Lake Texoma is 90,000 acres. All right, so to kind of give you an idea. It's about, I think it's 13 miles long, 6 miles wide in some places. And so it's a big, big lake, all right? And in this lake, what they were catching was what they now call them Peter's fish, but it was a type of tilapia. And these tilapia school together at times. They'll school together. Some of you know what white bass are, sand bass are. Some of you fished with me and know. And that's a lot of fun. You get into a school of fish that are schooling, and boy, you can throw a rod out. And me and my boys have caught as many as 300 in 3 or 4 hours. And with rod and reels. I could just imagine what I could do if I threw a net into them. And I did one time by accident. I promise you it was by accident. I had missionaries with me, so they know. I have proof. And Brother Darren Coker was one of them. We caught maybe 10 fish or so, and I saw some bait jumping in the water. I said, we need some bait. Let's go get some bait. And I took my 7-foot, 8-foot net, and I cast it out there, and it dropped and it fell to the bottom about 21 feet. And when I went to pull on it, I knew something wasn't right. I thought I was hung up. And when I pulled on it, and I kept pulling it, it was coming up. And it took everything I had. And I'm not a little guy. I'm a tiny, tiny man. And I pulled that thing up, and we didn't count them, but there was at least 50 fish in that net. I could just imagine. Jesus said to them, cast your net on the other side. And they cast their net down. And the Bible says that Peter caught 153 fish. It's amazing. It says there, "And therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved said unto Peter, It is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fish." Verse 7. "He girt his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea." See, Peter didn't fish halfway. I mean, he's on the boat. He's naked. He's fishing with all of his might. "And the other disciples came in a little ship, for there were not far from the land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes." So they're dragging this net behind the boat. "And as soon then as they were come to the land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon, and bread. And Jesus saith unto them, Bring the fish which ye have now caught. And Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, 153. And for all there were not so many, yet was not the net broken." First off, I'd like to say that Peter was not a wimp. And Peter was not a... Peter must have been a pretty strong guy. 153 fish. These tilapia all weigh between a pound and 3 pounds, just about like sand bass. And he pulled this net to shore. But I just wanted to see, again, for you to see that Peter, when he went back to the old way of life, he went back in it 100%. Now, with this 153 fish that he caught, he could have went back into the fishing business. Really. He'd been away from it. This was a big haul. This would have been a lot of money in that day and age. He could have went back in the fishing business. Peter went back to the old way. Peter influenced those other disciples to go back to that old way. Some of the others were fishermen as well. No man lives to himself, no man dies to himself. As a kid growing up, in the summer I spent a lot of time on the farm, as many of you know. And a lot on the farm is a lot of trails. And I asked my papa one time, I said, "What are all those trails?" He said, "Those are cow trails." I said, "Cow trails?" He said, "Yeah." And one time we were standing out there and I got to watch as one of the old mama cows took off. Pretty soon all the others were just following right behind her. She was the leader. And this happened a lot. And all over the farm there's still cattle trails, just little trails where they have walked through. And man, sometimes they go right through the thicket. You know, all of a sudden there's briars and bushes everywhere. And right in the middle of it will be this nice little path that you can walk on. Right through the briars. The cows have been going through there for, 30 years, still following the same path. Where's your path lead? How many cows are following you? Now, there's people following you. There's people following you. You need to be careful. Peter had many following him. He influenced those around him. Be careful. Be careful. Number three, and lastly, not only did Peter fail in his loyalty to the Lord, not only did he fail in his labor, went back to the old job, but he also failed in his love. Look at John chapter 21 again, verse 15. "So when they had dined," and remember there in verse 12, Jesus said unto him, "Come and dine." And now the disciples just ask him, "Who art thou?" knowing that it was the Lord. And Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them, and fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to the disciples after that he was risen from the dead. Verse 15. "So when they had dined, Jesus saith unto Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these?" First off, I want to point out that he called him by his old name. He had changed his name. He called him by his old name. Peter went back to his old life and the Lord called him by his old name. "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these?" And he saith unto him, "Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee." And he saith unto him, feed my lambs. And many of you have heard, and you've heard this text, but there'll be some in here who hasn't. In this text, there is a different Greek word that's used for the word love here. Jesus is using the word agape, the Greek word agape, which means it's the highest kind of love. It's God's love. It's the highest form of love. And when Peter says, "Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee," he uses the word phileo, which is the equivalent of the word love, meaning deep affection or brotherly love. So Jesus is speaking to Peter, and Jesus says to him, "Lovest thou me more than these?" And he's using that highest form of love, saying, godly love. And Peter says, "Lord, you know I have deep affection for you. Lord, you know I have brotherly love for you." He said, "Feed feed my lambs. 16, he saith unto him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And he saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. And there's reasons why the lamb and the sheep are used, and that's not the sermon tonight. But no, again, he says to him, Agape me? And Peter says, No, I phileo you. I love you with a deep affection, a brotherly love. And he saith unto him a third time, verse 17, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And Peter was grieved because he saith unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. And Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. And on this third time, Jesus actually uses the same word Peter uses. And it basically comes down to this, that Peter did not love the Lord with that highest godly love. Jesus recognized that. Jesus recognized that. And Peter was Jesus also pointing out to Peter, Lovest thou me more than these? Do you love me more than fishing? Fishing's not really the... He's really saying to them, Do you love me more than your old life? Do you love me more than your old job? Do you love me more than that old lifestyle that you were in? Look, Peter, do you love me? Do you love me more than these disciples? Do you love me more than your friends? Do you love me more than these? The question could be asked of us tonight. Do we love the Lord more than that old life? Do we love the Lord more than our friends? Do we love the Lord more than our family? The New Testament, Jesus says, that compared to our love for the Lord, that our love for our family should look like hate compared to our love for the Lord Jesus. Do you love the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you love Him with a deep affection, or do you love Him with a godly love? Peter said, Yes, Lord, you know I love you. I love you with a deep affection. Remind you tonight again that Christianity is a relationship and not a religion. I married my wife 21 years ago. I love her more today than I did then. Why? We got married. We didn't have a clue. Some of you understand. We didn't have a clue. You know, we thought we'd known each other since we were 13, and man, we thought we knew each other. That's not the case. Right? And I loved her then, no doubt. I did. I loved her. But there were other things that were in that also decision-making process of a young man. I loved her. But today I love her much more. In fact, my love for her today doesn't even compare to the love I had for her when I was 18 and she was 17 when we got married. It's not even close. And most of you, hopefully all of you, could say the same thing about your spouse. Listen, Christianity is a relationship. My love for the Lord today is stronger and greater than it was when I got saved when I was 6 years old. Peter, just a few days after this, Peter, just a few days after this, stands up and preaches, and 3,000 people get saved. Peter, for the first 12 chapters of the book of Acts, that's all you hear about is the things that Peter did. Peter was out front. Peter was doing great things for the Lord. Peter was following the Lord. Peter was no longer a failure. Peter was a follower. Peter was out front. Why? I think you got it, don't you? Not just a deep affection for the Lord, but a godly love. It really comes down in our relationship, and really comes down in our actions and in our language and in our following and in our loyalty and in our labor. It really comes down to love. Listen now, and I'm done. If our relationship with Jesus is not what it should be, then our loyalty and our labor will suffer. How's your loyalty to Jesus tonight? If we were to go to your workplace or we were to go to your school, would you be readily identified as a follower of Jesus? Simply by your speech and, of course, by your actions. How's your loyalty to Jesus? How's your labor for the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you serving Him? Are you serving Him? Are you working for Him? Are you, we'll work till Jesus comes. Because those two really hinge on your love for Jesus. Our loyalty and our labor for the Lord really hinges on your love of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you love Him tonight? If you love Him, then you'll be loyal. If you love Him, then you'll labor for Him. And that labor and that loyalty should grow as you grow in the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, when you look back at the time you got saved, from that point until now, that loyalty should be stronger. That labor should be greater than it was when you started. And it all hinges on your love for Him. So we can learn something from Peter's failures. And a wonderful, wonderful conclusion to his life when he gave his life for the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, Jesus prophesied him about him being crucified, that he would die for his following the Lord. May we love the Lord Jesus enough to be loyal and labor for Him.